Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alarmer. We're in program 325, that's 325. Those of you that would like to have a copy of it at the end of the program, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive one. Please let us know whether you want a audio tape or a CD. The postage and handling is taken care of by us, and it's absolutely free, everything. We have today Psalms. We have Gary Paxton as our guest artist today. And we also have some testimonials. We've got a very strong message from the Lord. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint the message. Now, the anointing of the message is so that people will not just ask the Lord to come into their hearts or to receive the Word of God to go and do the things that they did before. The Gentiles usually come to the Lord for something like, we have some scriptures today that we're going to read in regard to a woman that came to Jesus, not to serve him, but to have something done for her. Her daughter had a devil, and she came to the Lord not to serve him, but take and cast this devil out of my daughter. Now, the Bible plainly states that we're supposed to follow him. We begin to follow him, we have to go through a process by believing in him, and because he is the Word, and it's a process. Once you get saved, then a person that's not a Gentile will learn the Word of God, which is Christ, to continue serving him. But this woman who had asked Jesus to cast the devil out of her daughter, the Lord says, it's not meat for me to cast the bread, which is the Word of God, to the dogs. Because the Gentiles are the dogs, and because they just always want something from the Lord. But they never want to do what the Lord says. The dog, or the Gentile, they feel that God owes them something. When in reality, the Lord came into the world and he died. He lived a perfect life by the Holy Spirit being in him. And, you know, it should be enough that we come to the Lord to want to serve him. That's the only thing that's going to impress the Lord. And so the Lord knew this woman and knew that she was a dog, that she didn't want to serve him, that she just wanted something. And I see this happening in most of the churches today. You see a lot of people coming and say, well, I want a new car. I want my enough money to send my little dogs to doggish universities, and I want this and I want that, Lord, and I want, but I don't want to serve you. Oh my God, no, that would be too much to serve you, to come to you, to give my turn my entire being over to you. That would be just an abomination. So the body of Christ is made up of those who in faith have turned their lives over to Christ. They're not dogs. They're not Gentiles that turned their lives over to Christ to do exactly what he says to do. And those that seek to follow the Lord, not to, just to have him give them something. So the Lord says, you know, like, it isn't meat for me to cast the bread to you to teach you anything, because there's nothing that you're going to do that I teach you. And she says, well, and so to give the bread to you is nothing. I have to give them to the children, the sheep that follow me, the children of the Lord. You people that are just looking for something from God but don't want to turn your lives over to him, you're not the children of the Lord. You're users, that's all you are. Do you think that the Lord God is your doormat? And therefore, you're dogs, according to Jesus. Now, Jesus said that. And some people take offense with what Jesus says. Dogs, you know, the Gentiles, instead of being called dogs, we don't like that. We would rather that the Lord called us cats or pigs. He does call Gentiles pigs too, especially the Gentiles that were saved and then turned their lives back over to the world. He says they're like dogs that have gone back to their vomit. They were dogs once. They just wanted something from God. And so they wanted something from God, so they come to him for the something, and then the Lord gives them salvation because they say they don't want to go to hell. But they don't realize that serving the Lord is a process. The body of Christ is made up of those who, in faith, in other words, they believe the Lord is the right one to guide, lead, guide, and direct them through this world so they can get into heaven, who in faith have turned their lives over to Christ, and they seek, or they have sought to follow him. So we begin to do this, to go through this process of taking up the cross, denying ourselves and following the Lord, by believing in him, the Word. And now Jesus is the Word of God, amen?
Amen.
Okay, so people have to choose whether they want to be a dog. You don't have to stay a dog all your life, but just for sure, if you don't want to have to turn your life over to the Lord, you're a dog. And it's not right to throw the Word of God, which is the bread of life, to people. Believing in Jesus means that we read the Word on a daily basis. We can't believe in him if we don't know him. And how can we know him unless we study the Word? To know the Lord is to, we know him by his Word, by reading his Word. His Word is spirit and life. Okay, living as children of the King requires something. It requires turning your entire life over to him, moment by moment, acts of faith. In other words, Lord, heal me, heal my daughter, cast the devil out, and then she just went her own way after that. That's a dog, isn't it?
Yes.
So he didn't say, for this saying, in other words, for admitting that you're a dog, that you really just want, you're a user. You admitted that you're a user, that you're a dog. You just want the devil cast out of your daughter. And when you went home, you found that she was at peace now. She wasn't like a bunch of the Gentiles today where you see their kids are running wild on the street. You see over in valley of Los Angeles, that's where I am right now, you see the people are rioting. They've got these gangs fighting one another, killing each other, drive-by shootings, all the different things. It's because they're dogs. They haven't turned their lives over to the Lord. And they pray to the dog, "Oh, Holy Father, oh, Jesus, give us this, give us our daily bread so that we can live another day of going out and killing people on the streets. Senor." That is what it's all about. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to turn your life completely over to the Lord. You're using. You're asking for God to bless you. You're asking for God to give you bread. You're asking for the Lord to do all these things. Being able to grow in the fullness of his stature of Christ is what the Lord turns you from a dog into a child of God. You have to turn yourself over to the Lord so that you can receive the fullness of the stature of Christ. And it works the same way. Just as this life, we never fully will be anything if we don't belong in God's kingdom. If we're not, but just to receive salvation and then go your own way, you're still a dog. Okay, worse of a dog than you were before, because you took something that God died for and then you didn't turn your life over to him to do the things that the Lord requires of you. Isn't that a dog?
Amen.
I mean, for some bum to come up on the street and you give him $100 bill and then you tell him you're going to live forever if you continue on. The Lord says, you're saved if you continue on to the end. But if you're feeling sorry for yourself, you're a dog, because you shouldn't have your mind on yourself. You should have your mind on the Lord and on others, because the Lord says for us to prefer others before ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
But I see people in churches get up and they just drag around like they're really on the cross, and they don't do one thing for the Lord. They may read a few words, but then they just all day long just doing their own thing. So the Bible states that we must be perfect, I mean, to continue on reading and praying so that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, the possibility of being perfect is absolute. because God would never command you to be perfect if it wasn't possible to be perfect. We're perfect when we walk in the Holy Spirit, when we've given, surrendered our entire life over to the Lord. But in that we're not a user, we're not continuously seeing, what can God give me instead of you giving yourself to the Lord? Don't think about what God can do for you, but think He's already done the max for you. He's died for you and has offered eternal life to you in the kingdom of heaven. And He's already offered you everything, protection, healing, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, guidance by the Holy Spirit. And you still think that what you want is more important than what God gives. You want God to give you something more. You want Him to relax you every day, but you don't want to read His Word so that you can get the relaxation from Him. You don't want to go out and preach the gospel or to distribute literature on the street anymore, because you just feel that He hasn't done anything. He hasn't trimmed your toenails today and maybe trimmed your the hair in your nose and around your ears, and that He hasn't set you on some kind of a pedestal in this world. He wants you to know that you're a dog because you haven't turned your whole life over to Him. You're not a cat. You're a dog. Amen?
Amen.
Or if you knew the Lord and you got disgruntled with Him because He just doesn't give you everything that you want, then you're a pig that went back to your wallowing in the mire. Amen?
Amen.
A sow, a female pig, and a dog, a vomit-lapping dog that's gone back to its vomit. And it's a vomit-lapping dog. So therefore, the possibility of being perfect is absolute. The Lord says no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And yet the world government wants you to believe that drunkenness is a sickness. God would never send your soul to hell because you're sick. If that was a sickness, the Lord wouldn't say you're going to hell for having it. What it is, my friend, is a demon possession. Now this dog, this woman that just wanted something from the Lord, she wanted the demon cast out of her daughter. Well, it might have been a demon of drunkenness. It doesn't say that it says she's 10 or 12 years old. She could have been 20, 30 years old and be a drunkard. Well, the Lord said, because of the fact that you admit that you're a dog and that you know that you're not going to turn your life over to me, you're just a user, you're coming to me for something that only belongs to the people of the Lord and those that believe. Well, you said that the crumbs, the dogs eat from the crumbs of the table. So she's admitting, I'm not going to follow you. I'm a dog. I'm not going to do anything, but I do want you to do this, Lord. I want you to cast the demon out of my daughter. Okay, that's fine. I'll cast the demon out, but you're not wanting me to enter into her in the future after I've resurrected from the dead. You're not saying that. So that shows me you don't want to, you don't really care if she has eternal life. It's just what you see is what you think there is. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Amen?
Amen.
And so, obviously, you know that I'm a healer and you know that I cast devils out because you've seen me do these things. And therefore, that's why you want to use me for something. You dog, a dog wants God to do something for it. Isn't that sick? I think so, anyway. And so we need to get close to the Lord. So the possibility of being perfect is absolutely possible. Otherwise, God wouldn't tell us to do that. And a drunken demon can be cast out. It has to be cast out, because if you're a drunkard and you die, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's only one other place to go, and that's the pit of hell and the lake of fire. So we need to look forward to the time that we see Jesus face to face, that we see Him the way that He really is. We don't need to try to use Jesus. Jesus wants to live His life out in us. He wants us to surrender our entire life over to Him so He can use us, because He already did the max for us by dying for us and shedding His precious blood and then coming down from the kingdom of heaven as the life-giving Spirit and entering into our souls, so that we can go on on a day-to-day basis, allowing him to live out his life in us, to use us. And that happens when we become perfect, because we're walking in the Spirit. We're not just saying, Lord, give me some bread today, and then to hell with you. That's what Gentiles do. That's why he calls them dogs. Amen?
Amen.
Because you don't tell God to hell with you. Because you tell him that, and he's going to be, is for sure, you're the one that's going to hell. Amen?
Amen.
Now, hell is not a cuss word, you know. It's not profanity. It's a town. My grandmother, God rest her soul, is from a place in Finland. It's called Hellberg. I said, that means the hell town. Hellberg. No, that's actually her name. It's Victoria Hellberg. My grandmother's name is Helltown. She's from Helsinki. On top of everything else, she's from Helsinki, Finland. Thank God, you know, that I'm not in that family. You know, more, I'm in the family of God, amen?
Amen.
The family of the kingdom of heaven. Mrs. Hellberg is from Helsinki, Finland. You can't hurt a fin in their head. We become perfect. No imperfection in the Lord when we're walking in the Spirit. Therefore, there's no condemnation to those of us that walk in the Spirit that have turned our entire lives over to the Lord. Then the Lord, he can't call us a dog then, because we're in his Spirit. And he's certainly not going to call his Spirit a dog. The Gentiles do that. They just want to use the powers of God. They want, you know, there's so many people that move into our church, they don't do anything to bring in the blessings of this church. God blesses this church more than any other church in the world. They say, you don't have the biggest and most beautiful buildings in the world. Either did Jesus. As a matter of fact, he didn't have any special building. He preached on the hillsides, in the valleys, by the sea. Amen?
Amen.
So it isn't in a church building, because a building is not the church. You are the temple of God. You are the place where the Lord is supposed to live, lead, guide, and direct on a day-to-day basis. And if you don't let him, then you're a dog. It doesn't matter if you said out the prayer, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, wash all my filthy sins away. But the Lord says those that continue on in the Holy Spirit to the end, those that continue giving him your life, turning your entire life over to him so that he can live his life in you, in and through you, so that he can win souls in and through you. Okay? So there's no imperfection in that. But if you're not doing that, then you're a dog. And you, if you want to be converted from a dog to a child of God, well, then you must turn your life over to the Lord. It's a lot more than just saying a prayer and then going your own way like this Gentile woman did. I'm going to read the scriptures from there. But right now, we have, you know, this is a closer walk with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to have Gary, this is our guest star today, Gary S. Paxton, with a song entitled, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Thou art strong.
is my plea.
You songwriters out there ought to write a song, just a more steady walk with the Lord, a steady day-by-day walk with you, because no imperfection shall enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible states that we must continue on to the end on a daily basis, picking up the cross, denying ourselves. The Lord didn't die so that we could keep getting things from Him every day. The main thing that we want from Him, if you want the Holy Spirit from Him on a daily basis, He'll give that to you. And that's the most important thing for you to have, because there's no possible way that you could be perfect, and you must be perfect to enter the kingdom of heaven without the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in you. So there's no imperfection that shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, perfection is continuing in the Lord by the Spirit, surrendering your whole life over to Him, so that there's no war going on in your body, your flesh. Your flesh is the same, even after we're saved, the Spirit of God is in us, and we continue living in the same body, though. So Christ is in there. And so we're going to pray now, Father, to bless the rest of this service. Lord, you want your children to be saved, and your children are saved, but the dogs out there need to be saved, Lord. They don't need to just be asking you for something. I mean, who in blazes do they think they are that they could just be using you like you're some kind of a dispensing machine that's going to do something for a bunch of people that have no desire to give their entire lives over to you? Gave your entire life over to the death of the cross so that our souls could be saved, because your word, and you are the word, says that there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And so therefore, you will forgive all of our former sins. That is, we just want to use you. We live our own lives, and then a lot of people in the foxholes, you know, and they feel they're going to be killed. Oh, God, spare me. Or they're in an airplane, the thing's going down. Bill, God, I know I've never served you, but now save my soul now. It's too late. It's too late, too late, too late. You scoffed, you boffed, you were like a dog all your life. Now all of a sudden, when you know you're going out to eternity, you're just saying, not in faith, you're just saying, well, if there is a God, save my soul. That isn't faith. That's saying, I don't believe there is, but if there is, I want to be saved, but it's too late then. The Lord states that we must give our life unto the Lord in our youth. Don't be spending your youth waywardly for no reason at all. Lord, anoint this service. I pray that by the words, that you'll give me the words to let people know what they must do in order to be saved. Because so many people want to know, and there's nobody really telling them. They say, just say the prayer and that's it. But that isn't it. There's more to it. Those who continue to the end by actually first surrendering their entire life over to you and then staying in that position of a surrendered life on a daily basis, taking up the cross, not the bed of roses, without the thorns, and taking up the cross and denying ourselves on a daily basis. Lord, we pray. I pray that you'll give people that the dogs that much sense. They don't like being called dogs, but what are they if they're not what you call them? Gentiles always want to imagine that they're Snow White or the Seven Dwarfs or something. They believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all these things. But, Lord, they never think of you. They think you're some old grandpa up there that's half sees and half ears, sitting on a rocking chair just not knowing what's going on. But you know every thought and every intent. And you know every user and every abuser and every dog and every child of God on this earth. You know the good and you know the evil. You know everything. And you know who's serving you and aims to serve you and those that have no desire to serve you whatsoever. You know the dogs. And then the dogs wonder why they're tsunamis and they're being killed. They're drinking blood, which is an abomination, over in Louisiana at the Mardi Gras. And they're raising the city of hell right up onto the streets and thumbing their nose at you and saying, we don't need God. And so therefore you send down five more touches from a tornado over there and put a bunch of those same kind of people, witches, demon-possessed people, dogs that are users and don't care what you think, they don't care what you want, they're just going to live their life, they're going to raise the town of hell right there on the streets on Bourbon Street. And just make mockery of the gospel. And so, Lord, as you told me, they may try to build that city, but you're going to destroy it every time they try to. And you're allowing them to have this situation on Bourbon Street so that the people of the world can see that that's why you're doing it. You're allowing people to see how demonic they are. Lord, we pray that they'll receive the word of God and turn their entire lives, which is their reasonable duty because you died for them. If God can die for us, who are we that we can't die out to this world and surrender our lives over to you? Father, print this into their minds, their hearts and souls by the Holy Spirit today, that they do it instead of just talk about it. And that they stop wanting to use you, but that they begin wanting you to use them to win souls and to bring about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Lord, that the souls will be saved and that the church will stop playing church and become spirit-filled to allow you to live out your life in and through them. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, so now we have a testimony, I suppose, all right? I'm so geared up for this message that I really don't care whether we hear testimonies, but I want the people to be heard so that you know that people do believe. There's hundreds of thousands, even millions of people that believe in this ministry. the entire Baptist Convention voted that I was being persecuted for righteousness' sake. The American Baptist Convention, all of them voted and protested to the government because of that they railroaded me into prison for false charges. But that's just part of being a Christian. They think that they're going to stop me, but there's nothing that's going to stop me because I know that they saw that I'm not going to be a dog, that I'm going to be a son of God. That means too much to me to ever turn my back because of these the devil's persecution. And in the same token, the devil and all the people that are the children of the devil can see that there's one person on this earth, at least, that believes in the living God, that's walking by the power of God in my spirit, in my soul. All right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
From Angola, Luanda, Africa. Peace and grace be multiplied to you. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, regenerates us for a lively hope. I am enthusiastic to write this letter for the first time after one of my friends gave me your world newsletter. I read it entirely several times, and my way of communicating the gospel was transformed. Even those around me are restored, for I have photocopied the newsletter under several headings, and many have converted to Jesus Christ and come to the church I pastor.
Yeah, they're talking about a newsletter that I have written. I got it from the Lord. And I sent it there, and these newsletters are winning millions, hundreds of millions of souls. Then what?
Indeed, I bless my God for Jesus Christ concerning you, in that your faith is renowned throughout the entire world for the great world vision which you have received from the Lord. However, I am convinced by the Holy Spirit to come to your high consideration to solicit membership support in the sense that the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries be represented here in Angola, Luanda, Africa. For we have been in a very difficult time of war for 30 years, and many do not recognize the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, there is a great passion burning in my heart for these people who live in sin in my country.
Jane, this is not a dog here. This is a person that has a desire to do the work that the Lord has called him to do, is to not get something from Jesus, because they already got the most important thing, and that's salvation, the Holy Spirit. And now they have the Spirit of God in them that wants to do an evangelical work, a Christian work, a Christ work through him. And he has received that. Okay, he wants to go out. That's a burning desire. The Lord made his word like a fire in him. The word of God, which is Jesus, is in him. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus with his Father by the Spirit is in him, and there's this burning in his heart. There's this fire, the Lord says, is my word not like a fire that burneth? Okay, and that you have to get it out. And is it not like a hammer that breaks the stony hearts of people to pieces so that the Holy Spirit can enter into them so that they can want to be used by the Lord rather than to use him like the dogs do. But the dogs, you know, the Lord lets the dogs eat, sleep, breathe his air, drink his water, and eat his food and everything. But that's all they have. But the rain falls upon the just and the unjust, and God blesses the just and the unjust, so that they will not curse God for depriving them of food. The one that's depriving people of food today is the Vatican world government and the media, because they're plowing hundreds of billions of tons of food under. And there's so much waste in prisons and in the armed forces that they now, it's a new business where they grind all that food up. There's people that get concessions to go into these different areas where they have such an abundance of throwaway, and they allow people to go in there and grind up all this throwaway food into cattle feed, and they sell it to the cattle farmers. But go ahead, continue on. And so, you know, that's how much waste there is. They could be selling this or giving this away to the poverty-stricken people that are starving to death, but they don't. They sell it to the people and feed it to cows. Okay, then what?
They don't understand the peace we have now coming from this man from Galilee, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Excellence. Signed, Pastor Bonnke, from Angola, Luanda, Africa.
All right, Pastor Bunky, we appreciate your letter very much. Now, the kingdom is, there's other ones that we have. Go ahead and read another one, okay, if it's not long.
Dear Pastor Lomo, I am requesting the free copy of the booklet Messiah. I read your articles on Sundays in the San Diego Union Tribune and find them very interesting and informative. I am in agreement with most of what you say, except for when you say triune. I assume this means that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one and the same.
Yes, I wrote a piece of literature called The Oneness of God. God is not split up, either are we. He is triune and we are tripart. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And God has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Son is not the body of Christ. He was the Son of Man. But the Spirit that was in him was the Son of God. Not only the Son of God, but the Father, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit. God made us in the image of his Son. Because God, Jesus, is the only one that has an image. God is a spirit. Spirit doesn't have any image. The Spirit in us, I know that now that the Lord has come and resurrected and ascended into heaven, now he has an image, God does. And when he enters into our spirits, he gives us the same image as him. So that I know when a person's spirit goes out of them, they look just like you do. You look like you do, only you look better. Because your spirit is young, no matter if you're 100, 110 years old, 120, whatever age you are, you're still going to look like you're about 16 or 17 years old in heaven. And you're going to be perfect. There's no imperfection in heaven. So, go on. Keep reading.
But also three different entities for lack...
Right, there are three different entities, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. That's the Spirit of God. Then, later on, and it says, God said, and the Word, which is Christ. The Bible tells us that there isn't anything in the universe that was not made by Jesus, the Word. And so, everything was made by him and for him. For him. Not for you. Not for you, but for him. And he made everything perfect, and he made everything good. And then when man, or female, when Eve disobeyed God, then they believed Satan rather than God. And so therefore, Satan became their God. Your God is whoever you believe. And if you believe the one world government, which is headed by the Vatican in the news media, then your God is Satan, and that's who you're going to spend eternity with. God only wants people that believe him. You are my friend if you do everything I say. He says, believe on me, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and you'll have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Whosoever believeth in him, the Word of God, shall be saved. But him that believeth not is damned. The Bible plainly says that. When Jesus was instructing his disciples to go to every nation, to every kindred, to every tongue, to preach his word to them, he said, he that believeth shall be saved, and he that doubteth shall be damned in eternity forever. Now those that don't love the word of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 states that God sends them strong delusion to make them believe a lie so that their souls will be damned because they have not the love of God's word, the truth, in them. So he sends strong delusion. He makes you believe a lie if you don't love his word. If you don't pay attention to his word, that you must continue on in his word, surrendering your entire life to him as he tells you in his word, come and follow me, not the devil. Come and follow me, not the world government, which is the Antichrist, and the headed by the Vatican, which is Satan's seat. In the city of the seven mountains, or the media, but follow me. Don't be like Eve, because you know all the people in the world had to die because of her believing Satan. And you die and go to hell if you don't do everything the Lord tells you to do. It's just that simple. Well, you don't believe that? Well, then you're a dog. You want me to call you a cat? or a Persian cat or something nice, when in reality you are a dog if you don't believe what God says. I didn't make that up. That's what he said. Amen?
Amen.
And so you're trying to use God. You want his blessings. You want to breathe his air. You want to eat his food. You want good health. He heals the children of the Lord. You want good health, but you don't want to serve him. Well, you know what he says to you? To the city of hell with you. And then the city of hell and the lake shall be thrown into the lake of fire. Fuego. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where you go. Tra-la. Well, you don't like that. Well, God doesn't like you either then, all right?
Amen.
That's why he created hell for people that don't like him. He doesn't have to put up with you. You say, well, we don't have to put up. That's right. You don't have to put up with him either. But there's a time that's going to, you're going to be judged. You're going to face God whether you want to or not. And you're going to hell in the lake of fire. So why don't you be God-friendly? And why do you want to go to hell, to die and go to hell? Why do you want to be judged that way? You know, if you get saved, your family will be saved as well. You may say, there's not enough love in my ministry. Love is the keeping of God's commandments, and I'm doing exactly what the Lord said for me to do, and that's to teach you the way of God, what God said. And that's love. That's true love. There's nobody in this world that loves you as much as I do. Only Christ in me loves you. Because before I was saved, I wouldn't even give you the time of day. All right? I wouldn't give you the sweat off my nose. But now I love what the Lord, and so I obey what he says. I even get and pray for people that hate me. And, you know, but then you got these churches that think it's right to hate. Right, these are satanic churches, and you people that are in those kind of churches, witness and testify to your pastor and all the people in the congregation, you'll probably get thrown out. But if you do, let it be known that the doors of our church are open to everyone that formerly hated us, because we don't hold any grudges, and we're open to, you know, all the politicians that get saved. There's politicians that I've allowed to move into an apartment house that the church, or the people of the church own. I gave them free rent over there because their wife was the daughter of a judge that hated us, and because he liked us, the judge was giving him a hard time, so he wanted to move out of the house and move where the people of the Lord were. And I really love that guy. You know, he's a real person of the Lord. So he wound up, his wife destroyed all of his clothes and everything, and he left her. Anyone putting father, mother, sister, brother, son, or daughter before the Lord, or anything in this world before the Lord, is not worthy of the Lord. Surrender your life to him. That's the way it goes. Okay, let's hear the rest of that letter.
So I was wondering if you could please enlighten me on this subject.
Yes. Yes, I can. Send that person a copy of The Oneness of God. Because in later on in the first chapter of Genesis, it says, let us, God, the three units of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us, plural, make man in our image. In our, isn't that plural?
Yes.
In our image, let us make man. So that's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit talking. All right, then what else?
My own understanding is that God is God, Jesus is God's Son, and the Holy Spirit is God's power or unseen force that carries out God's work.
Right, and God's Spirit in you gives you the power to be able, in you, mingled into your spirit, gives you the power to surrender your entire life over to the Lord and then continue in doing so for the rest of your life so that your soul can be saved. And also, you know, you have a brain, you have a spirit, a soul, and a body. So your body, soul, and spirit are tripart. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are triune, one God. They cooperate with each other. God is a perfect God. He needs the Spirit because his Word is Spirit and life. And so he created everything with the Word, which is also Christ. And, you know, you have to study the Word more, my friend, in order for you to be able to understand these things. And when you read my literature, The Oneness of God, you'll understand it a lot better. All right? Then what?
With that, I believe that they are two beings and one entity, being the Holy Spirit.
No such thing. When I saw Jesus on the throne, I knew that was God. He stated that He is the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll lay my life down and I'll raise it back up. So that means He's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, raised Him from the dead. And He's the Holy Spirit. But it was the human body that God created when He entered Mary, and He was conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. But there's no one of us that could be born either if God didn't have something to do with it. He set it up, the mechanics of humanity, that the seed is within the man, and seed is within monkeys, seed is within baboons and gorillas and all that. These are all human beings. The animals all have the same seed. Dogs still have dogs. Monkeys still have monkeys. And humans still have humans. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and giraffes still have giraffes. How could we have all evolved? In what relationship has a giraffe to a rhinoceros? Or a giraffe to a canary? Or an elephant to a canary? Come on, you know. Creation is God's word, and that's the way it really is. And, you know, these schools, the school teachers, are going to wind up in hell if they don't stop preaching evolution. That is the exact opposite. It's the doctrine of devils. Okay, then finish off.
Thank you, and God bless Uriah from San Diego, California.
All right, praise the Lord. Okay, now let's read the scriptures of what I was telling. That is Mark Chapter 7, verses 21 through 30. Okay, so let's hear what Jesus says.
For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts.
Okay, yeah. So it isn't what goes into the body. You can eat all kinds of different food that defiles you. But it's what comes out of the body. What comes out? Because whatever's in you comes out of you. And so when I'm preaching the gospel, you can tell that God is coming out of me because I eat the Lord every day. His word, I eat it and I drink the Spirit. And so if it's what the Bible says, then you know that what's coming out of me is God. All right? The word. Okay, then what?
For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness.
Pride, yeah. We want what we want. Yeah, and foolishness. That's foolishness to think that God is supposed to keep serving us a hand and foot, that He's our servant. You're supposed to be the servants of God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get our heads screwed on here, right? And let's get the right spirit in us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet.
Yeah, she had evil spirit. She wouldn't be coming and falling at his feet if it wasn't for the fact that she needed something from him, right?
Amen.
Why? Because she was a Gentile, a dog. Okay, then what?
The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician.
See, a Greek. Greeks were dogs. Okay, then what?
By nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs.
Yeah, the children of God he's talking about, the sons of God. It's better to do things for them because they've given their whole life over to the Lord. But anyone that has it is a dog. Then she said what?
And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs.
Yeah, in other words, we want the leftovers. We don't want the things of the children. We don't want all the things. Because we know that in order to have everything that the children get, we have to serve you and give our whole life over to you. And we certainly don't want to do that. We want to live our own life. Okay, that makes you a dog. A dog. Okay, then what?
And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter.
In other words, go your way. You know, don't follow me, because I know you won't. The Lord knows our hearts, amen?
Amen.
Because you're a dog. Okay, because you admitted that you're a dog, then that you should eat a few crumbs from under the table, get a few of the blessings that the children, the sons of God, get. Go ahead your way, you know, because you're not going to serve me. I know you, Gentile, you dogs, I know you. Then what?
And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed.
Yeah. She laid upon the bed. Okay, well, what do you want to be, a dog or a cat or what? There's no cat. You're either a dog or you're a son of God. A son or a daughter of God means you're a son. But you have to make that decision yourself. And if you don't like being called a dog, well, you'll have to talk to Jesus about that, because he's the one that calls you that. And he's God, he's the Word, and there's nothing that you can do about that except convert. If you convert, you give your whole life over to the Lord, which you don't want to do. Most of you people in the world, you just want to. I mean, you love this world and this condemned world, you want to keep going. But if you don't want to be judged by God, to be sent into hell in the lake of fire, where there's nothing but torments, well, then say this prayer. And then after you say it, take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow the Lord. Okay, now say this prayer to the Lord, so you can not be a puppy anymore or a big old mangy dog. You can become a son of God. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Therefore, I know that you've heard me, and I know that you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord, and make your mind up now that you've given your heart to the Lord and your life to the Lord, and let's start serving him. And if you need a place to serve him, our place is open for you. And there may be other places in the world too, you know, just so that you serve the Lord. Now share and tell them the four different ways they receive a copy of program number 325.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you turn in tomorrow for a strong message from the real Word of God. And now here's our guest today, Gary S. Baxter, singing Sophisticated Savages, you know, people that are in the world that we look at as sophisticated, but they're actually savages inside.